whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take it out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. It's my Monday, but it is Tuesday. It's Shasky's Tuesday, and he had to work on Monday. I'm sorry about that, buddy. Good morning, everybody out there getting off their graveyard shift, and Happy New Year. I guess it's too late to say Happy New Year. The cutoff was on Saturday, according to Larry David, so no more Happy New Years. Just good morning to all the overnight dancers, all the truck drivers. Saw a guy standing across the street walking into the studio today. This Latin kid had tattoos all over his face and his back. And he was standing in front of the Capital One building with no shirt on and some pants. And he was, like, hiding from somebody while sirens were coming down, cop cars and everything. So maybe he got, maybe he didn't. But it's like, oh, that guy looks interesting.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to Tuesday morning. Good morning, Chasky.
Good morning. I didn't expect that on my bingo card to start off the day.
Hey, you know me, I'm random, man. And, you know, especially random after watching the Kings. Ah, damn the Kings. We're going to talk about Brian Schneider getting fired late last night. According to Nick Wagner of ESPN, the special teams coach of the 49ers is gone. He's out. Don't worry about him. Brian Schneider is gone. So Shanahan makes a move. And it could be Nick Sorensen next. Could be Chris Kocurek. We'll see about that. But I was watching the Keys game last night, Shasky, and they were down 17 in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
I didn't hear from Casey and D'Lo or whatnot. Didn't hear from Drapes. And then, you know, they rally, and here comes the tweets, their texts from D-Lo and KC. I'm like, oh, you guys are really front runners, huh? You guys really? And then, like, the way they beat the Warriors, because I wasn't in last night, the way they talked yesterday after beating the Warriors, this version of the Golden State Warriors, it was as if they did win the championship. Oh. They might as well hang the banner. January 5th, 2025. We beat the Warriors by 30 at Chase Center. Might as well hang the banner. You hang Summer League championships up. You hang California Classic championships up. You might as well hang the banner. January 5th, 2025, we beat the Warriors by 30 at Chase Center. Because the way they acted after the game, and yesterday, trust me, I heard TC try to clown and everything like that. It's like, geez, you guys are still under 500.
That's all they got. And now they got the A's. So, you know, good for them. And, yeah, good luck.
Good luck. That's all you got.
Keon Ellis killed the Warriors, and Sabonis killed the Warriors. So, you know, when a team beats you that thoroughly, you just kind of got to wear it.
Yeah, no, Keon Ellis is a good player, man.
He's
a good player. I don't know what Mike Brown was doing not playing him, but he's out.
You lose that game with no De'Aaron?
Yeah, no.
By 30.
And, you know, Bully keeps saying that, and now I'm subscribing to it, and Fitz is subscribed to it. It is a first quarter league, so when the Warriors take on the Miami Heat tonight, the first quarter is going to be very important, very important. How does this team start, and how do they sustain the traction after a first quarter? They were down by 15 after the first quarter. Next thing you know, Steph Curry hits a couple 4-point plays, they're down 4, and you look up at halftime, they're down 24. That was probably the most embarrassing performance of the season for the Warriors.
More so than even the Cleveland game?
Yeah, because at least Cleveland's a championship contender.
I mean, Cleveland is having a historic season.
Yeah, they're legit. The Sacramento Kings are out of the box.
Yeah.
They're not even in the box right now.
Yeah, but I just think that the Warriors, they're an average team.
They are.
I don't even know if you'd call them average. They're a mediocre team is the way I would put it.
They're mid, right? As Steph Curry said.
Yeah.
They're mid.
Well, Steph himself needs to wear it because as great as he was on Thursday night, he's missed some games, and obviously the knee is obviously affecting his play, but him and Draymond with 1,000 turnovers to start that game was not great.
Yeah, no, not great. And there's a lot of mid around here. There's a lot of mid right now around the Bay Area. The Warriors are mid. The Sharks are below mid. They're bad. The Giants have been mid for years. And the 49ers ended a mid-season, 6-11. And really, I mean, look, they're playing out the string over the last three games. The season ended on Thursday Night Football against the LA Rams. Hell, the season ended that Sunday afternoon against the Seattle Seahawks when Geno walked off the field like he was Joe Namath or something. But the Niners were mid. And now they start the process of rebuilding and retooling. And I know there's a lot of rhetoric about Purdy's money and who's going to play quarterback and what's going to happen with Debo, what's going to happen with the defense. But they do make one move. And they fire Brian Schneider, the special teams coach. So you start right there, Sasky. And so the process of getting better in 2025 has already begun with the firing of the special teams coach.
Obviously, the kicker is an influence here. But let me just throw the kicker to the side, because I got a million different, and I'm talking about field goal kicks, not extra points.
Yeah.
Because extra points, he was 32 or 33 this year. It was the field goals. I mean, he missed basically nine of his last 20 field goals. But to me, they were 22nd in touchbacks.
Yep.
What the hell? You got Moody to kick the ball into the end zone, all right? Your punt coverage and kick coverage units weren't good, okay? You were 37th. Your starting kicker was 37th in the league in terms of net average on those kick returns. So that's a duality. He's not kicking into the end zone. You're not wrapping up. They had the eighth most penalties on special teams. Yep. And to me, it was two things. Not being prepared for the obvious fake punts, staring them in the face, and the consistent penalties that are just backbreaking to this team that gave so much hidden yardage to the opponent. And the guy had to go. I mean, I hate calling for somebody who he was 10 years he was with Seattle. He did a really good job. That fake punt against the Rams, and then over the they did one with
Arizona,
DJ Dallas.
I know. The Arizona Cardinals did one. I was cracking up. I was cracking up. I was cracking. By the way, I've seen some great creative fake punts. Did you see the UNLV over the holidays?
Phenomenal.
UNLV ran a fake punt against Cal. I said, I've never seen that before. It was like they pushed the light. It was like the Tebow push pass or whatever. And the guy came from all the way on the outside as a wide receiver and came running to drag that fake punt. We're going to see that in the NFL soon. But no, it's Brian Schneider. And it started in week three against the LA Rams when they ran a fake punt. Mm-hmm. On the 4th and 6, they ran a fake punt and got 7 yards.
When they were dead in the water.
They were dead. You could have ended their season. And now they're division champs. And now they're playing in a wild card game against the Minnesota Vikings at home next Monday night. So, Schneider, job number one, done. You fired him. But when it comes to Jake Moody, because, boy, I fell for him on Sunday.
I did too.
He makes the first field goal. And even the announcer, Chris Myers, goes, that was ugly, but it goes in. It was like, look, beggars can't be choosers, dog. The kick went in. I don't care how ugly it was. It was 3 points. And then he misses the chip shot. And you're thinking to yourself, but now I want to ask you this, because I know a lot of people are going to think there's excuses or whatnot. 888-957-9570 is the number, by the way, if you want to get in on a special teams coach. Are you happy about that? I've been watching Jay Feely and all these kickers online.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about the holds.
Okay.
The holds of the kick. And whoever's holding the ball, is it Elcano, whatever, the backup
punter. Yeah, the
punter. It wasn't even worth me remembering his name because he's going to be gone. This freaking guy is like holding the ball. And they're like, look at the holds. They're holding it to the left. The ball slid it to the left, and now the kicks are getting pushed to the left. Now, I don't know. I would love to get a kicker on to talk about this stuff because I do think it's fascinating. I'm not making an excuse. I'm not making an excuse for Jake Moody. I am not. But I did wonder. You know, I did wonder about the ankle injury. Was he healthy with the high ankle sprain? I had no idea. But Moody, I'm not saying cut him, but you better bring in another kicker to push this guy if you're going to bring him back next year.
So here's where I struggle with this, right? Like, they got him because they want to be able to kick long field goals, right?
Yep.
Right? And I think he's got a booming foot. At least I believe that he does.
Yep.
He's awesome in practice. So you bring in, let's just hypothetically, let's play this out.
Yep.
You bring in somebody to compete with him, all right? And Moody probably beats him out in practice. And then there's the first pressure kick of the year. Do you have any confidence in the man?
Personally, I never have confidence in kickers anyway.
No, I'm probably aligned with you in that thought process.
Like even Justin Tucker, I worry. I'm watching Baltimore. I'm like, man, is Tucker going to make that kick? Like, he hasn't kicked much over the last few weeks. They're worried about him. Trust me. I'm worried about Gary Anderson, for crying out loud, was perfect with the 98 Vikings. Perfect. You get to the NFC Championship game, and he misses his first kick of the season to go to the Super Bowl. So from that point on, we're 15, 16 years old at that point. I can't trust kickers anyway. But Jake Moody, with the confidence that he has, and, you know, they're trying to get his confidence up. I'm with you, Shasky. The first pressurized kick he plays next year and he misses it, this fan base is going to riot. They will riot. So I don't know, man. I don't know what you do about Jake Moody. I really don't.
I just did. Look, I mean, we're scarred when it comes to special teams because of all of the postseason blunders. And, you know, I feel like Schneider and just the whole unit just didn't get over that at Super Bowl either.
No.
I mean, muffing the punt, missing the extra point. It's all come back to roost. Let me ask you this one. What was Jake Moody's long this year?
Did he have a 51-yarder?
Yeah, two 53-yarders.
53-yarders.
Do you know how many guys in the league this year hit a 53 or longer kick?
Plenty. It's
30.
It's been a record.
One. It's been a record. Guys.
It's been a record. Guys are booming them.
I
watched, who's the kicker in Green Bay right now? McManus, I think? He boomed one before the Bears came down and scored. He boomed one in 7-degree weather, like 53 yards, 55 yards. And I was like, damn, this guy just booted. It was 55 up, McManus. I was like, wow. Now, Santos came down and won a game for the Bears on the other side, but the kicker in Dallas is making kicks left and right. He could kick them for 65. Well, easy.
The other guys that they brought in this year were hitting kicks. Yeah. The other two. One got his ankle crushed on special teams. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And then, I mean, both our kickers, or two of our kickers, got hurt trying to tackle someone on special teams, just to give you an idea of how poor it's been. And people can say, oh, it's the injuries. I mean,
yeah, no, I'm
I just, like, they never look prepared for these punts, these fake punts that we know are coming. Actually, and here's the silver lining. I thought Jacob Cowan, as the year went on, became a strength on the team.
He got better and better.
As a returner.
It was hairy early on with Jacob Cowan, but he got better and better and better. But the special teams unit was all-time bad.
And then Debo was a great kick returner, and even he fumbled twice on kick returns.
But we'll get to Debo Samuel.
Oh, I got a list of questions.
Because I think Debo has played his last game with the 49ers. And I hate the way that it ended for him. But when you think about leadership, and we had Cam Imadon when you're out, and he went off about, like, not go off, but I asked him about Debo, and he goes, you know, when you're a captain of the team, and you decide not to speak to the media, and you have the incident with Tabor Pepper, and then you have five games with 101 yards receiving, and just all these little things, it kind of played out the streak. I get the sense that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan is like, all right, enough's enough. Enough's enough with this.
So my setting on Debo is I'll believe it when I see it.
You know why I think that? You know why? Because Monday Night Football against Detroit. I went back and watched the game because we had the Warriors-Cavs game, and that game was, boy, that was hideous. Debo got one target in that game, and it was on a jet sweep.
Yeah, I think they were phasing him into running back.
Right. And Pearsall was going off. Jennings was doing his thing. That, to me, was like, oh, this is the change you got to guard. Debo can't even get a target against the Detroit Lions, who were giving up 40 points left and right until Sunday when they shut down Sam Darnold and Vikings.
Anzalone's back.
But Anzalone's back. There you go. Maybe that's all they were missing. But he got one target in that game, and I thought, oh, they're phasing him out.
Look, I think this brings a bigger question about team building. If Shanahan's your coach, it's probably poor business to spend $65 million on two wide receivers.
Yeah.
You know, like, if Shanahan's your coach, especially when you see a first-rounder who I thought was on a milk carton all year come in, and it's like, oh, well, if I call his number for two straight weeks, he can be a productive wide receiver. And then I look at Juwan Jennings, who obviously was cut in his first year, comes back, and was on a decent deal this year. Nobody saw him having the year that he had, 975 yards. Nobody saw that coming. This is a guy who caught 19 passes last year, Juwan Jennings. Okay, 19. And then this year, when given some of that usage and then playing the X on the line, like, wow, he's a real playmaker. Now, do I want to go into a season with Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall as my 1 and 2? Probably not.
But the way
that they play football, they can get away with it.
No, you know what Cam Amon brought up, Brandon Ayuk, that he may be ahead of schedule. He's jumping around in the locker room, playing hoops or whatnot.
I thought that with Dre Greenlaw.
Yeah, well, Dre Greenlaw was in February, and they rushed him back. It made no sense. Knee tightness in the first game. I mean, you're coming off an Achilles tendon tear. You're trying to come back in what was it, 8 months, 9 months?
Yeah.
That's absurd.
It felt aggressive to begin with.
It felt a little aggressive, but But from what I'm hearing is Brandon Ayuk could be ahead of schedule. We'll see about that, just like Christian McCaffrey. But if I got Ayuk, Jennings, and Pearsall, oh, I feel good. I feel really good about that core because Pearsall showed me something over the last few weeks. And now he's going to get an offseason after a tumultuous, I mean, the guy got shot, the guy had hamstrings, the guy had shoulder injuries. The list goes on and on and on. But there looks like there could be a player there. I was impressed with him.
I thought that was, if we're going to look for any silver linings over the last month, it's that, oh, all right. Yeah, that's a promising way to end the season. I feel really good about Ricky Pearsall heading into the offseason.
What about Renardo Greene?
Well, I think he's a stud. He made multiple plays on the ball late in the year where, like, to me, he is a clear-cut. I hate saying this because Charvarius had such a tough year.
Yeah, we'll
I thought
get
he
to
was
him.
A better football player this year than Charvarius was on the field. But it does, like, I'm baking in a lot of leeway for Charvarius. Yep. I don't want to say, you know, I couldn't even imagine going to work given everything that's happened to him. But that being said, I thought Renardo Greene outplayed him.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. So there are some silver linings here. But when it comes to Debo, I just. That's the way he's going to end for him. By the way, George Kittle wanted to end his career with the 49ers, and he may get extended or whatnot. George Kittle is an all-time Niner. He's an all-time Niner. I'm proud of him, the way he played. That was leadership that he showed all season long. Fred Warner as well. Fred Warner, playing with the fractured ankle, is not going to get surgery this offseason, which is good for him. But he also suffered the hip, and he wouldn't even leave the game. It's like, this guy's an all-time warrior, and he was compromised. You know, I got something with Arizona. I can't wait to see them next year.
Why is that?
They ran up the score. They were trying to get their stats, and they're doing everything to try to make themselves feel good. I'm like, okay, you want to drop 47?
Really,
a little bit. It's like, okay, Gannon, I'll remember that. Okay. I'll remember that. You want to line it up against the scrubs. Everybody's hurt. Okay. You want to go out there, feel good in Glendale, Arizona, with the roof all open. You know, you're going into the new year feeling good. Okay, Arizona, bookmark that. Bookmark that next year. Karma's a you-know-what.
On your George Kittle opinion, he's going to be 32 years old. He's in the final year of a contract. He's set to be a $14.4 million cap hit for next year. He'll be an unrestricted free agent in 2026. To me, this is a great opportunity for them to extend him and figure out a way to make this guy a 49er for at least the next 4 years.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
And you've got to find tight end, too. Can't be rolling into next year with Eric Saubert. To me, they've got to find a rugged player who can take two positions, not just the tight end, too, but also, fullback. Like, Juice's spot. I'm sorry. Like, I like you, Juice. You're a really good Niner. If I can find one player to be my backup tight end who can also run that H-back stuff, like, that, to me, is what they should come out of this draft with.
Juice got the sense, too, that he may have played his last game as well as a 49er. He kind of sits in knowing that the money. And you know what, Juice, he still feels like he's playing at a high level, but he felt like he's played his last game as a Niner.
Am I the only one that kind of rolls your eyes at the 8 straight Pro Bowls at fullback? It's like,
nobody runs with a fullback.
I know, but like, I'm asking you, did you think he was a Pro Bowl level player this year?
He's a good blocker. He makes plays in a pass game. Here's how I look at it.
He was all right.
Here's how I look at it.
We're going to look at his Wikipedia page. 8-time Pro Bowl.
Yeah, but you got to realize, too, that half the league or maybe 20 teams don't even have a fullback on a roster.
No, I understand that.
So, he has been one of the better fullbacks. I'll give him that. I don't scoff at the fullback position. Juice has been a really good fullback. I think what bothers people about Juszczyk is all the other stuff. I think people get a little annoyed about what happened this year with the reporters or whatnot. I got no problem with Juice. The one problem I did have with Juice, I take that back, is when Trey Lance got hurt. That really bothered me. Trey Lance got hurt, and they're running to Michael Silver talking about, Jimmy came in, that was 49er football. And didn't score 10 points the next week in Denver, and we're talking about the pick hate heard around the world. That would bother me. That to me was like,
He's set to make $6.5 million next year.
Yeah, he's probably gone.
$6.5 million. That's 2 backup quarterbacks.
Are you serious?
Like, depending on who you want. $6.5 million.
Matt Lively, look at him on the TV. We should get him on. He was down there in Santa Clara yesterday. We got the Purdy sound from yesterday. We have Moody Ward because you brought him up. Got Bobby and East Palo Alto. Want to talk about Brian Snyder on the other side. We'll do that as a Niners Finder special teams, because don't forget, it is a Warriors game day. So tune in live. Tune in for Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity. Streaming sports for the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff, as the segment was brought to you by NB Jesse Painting.
All right, Dub Nation, it's Draymond Green. Tip-off is coming later today with the great Tim Roy. And then tune in to the Morning Roast tomorrow morning for the best Warriors coverage.
We'll get to the Warriors a little bit later. They got handled by Sacramento by 30. Doug Christie, they've won 5 in a row up there. They're lighting the beam left and right. They came back from 17 down on the fourth quarter. I was like, damn, Doug Christie's got the plan. They've got an attitude. And it's a little different. We're going to get back to the Niners, but it's a little different than Mike Brown. Well, Mike Brown, you know, was trying to impart the Warriors way up there and this and that. Kyle Draper, I heard the laugh. Trust me, Draper's been laughing. We did a crossover with him on Sunday. He read, dude, he's unbelievable. He's great for television. He's a great villain. And they won their championship. Again, they're going to hang a banner January 5th, 2025. We beat the Warriors by 30 inside of Chase Center. Hang the banner. It's all good. You're missing some in G1C. Got plenty of room for banners. But Mike Brown, or excuse me, Doug Christie is like, it's almost like that Memphis attitude where, like, we don't give a damn who you are. We're going to come at you. We're going to come at you with force. We're gonna pick you up full court. We don't want you helping us up. Where Mike Brown maybe was, you know, we want to do the Warriors way, the Warriors way. Kings fans don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that Fox is going to be next Curry. They got their, they feel like Fox is their Curry. You know what I'm saying? So Doug Christie's going to, and he, you know who Doug Christie was as a player. We watched him in the prime of his career. Feisty, defender, will get into you, was an agitator. Just ask Kobe Bryant. Just ask Rick Fox. So they got a little attitude up there in Sacramento now. And they're playing well. They're playing well.
I have more opinions on Doug Christie because of Basketball Wives than I do of anything on the floor, quite frankly.
No. His wife rides for him.
I didn't say anything about his wife. I just said I know more about him because of Basketball Wives.
Oh, yeah, well, his wife was on Basketball Wives.
Yeah, my wife did not like her on that show.
A lot of people don't like her. But you know what? It is what it is. Doug is winning. Doug is winning in more ways than one.
Well, good for them.
What about Brian Snyder? Is he winning right now?
Well, I wonder, is this it? And it got leaked, basically, late last night. Yeah. Sources are saying that he's gone. I personally would take it a step further, and I'd say, yeah, I think we need an entire new defense. And, like, to me, one of the big off-season things is, like, and I know Purdy, like, today's the day that they can extend him, and they have all off-season, and Jimmy Garoppolo got extended in February when he got his extension, and maybe Brock would get extended in February or at some point. We'll get to that. That's coming, all right? I anticipate something of a resolution with Purdy. The biggest problems on this team, and I know it's the trenches, and I get it. But the big thing is to me, they couldn't establish a consistent, good run game all year on offense, and I thought it limited them.
Well, that goes to the offensive line, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Secondarily, their defense looked old, slow, and outdated. And so to me, all things should be on the table when I look at the defense and you're revamping it. You're going to need 3 to 5 new defensive linemen. You're going to need multiple probably new linebackers. You're going to need a new free safety. Probably going to draft another slot corner or whatever to supplement around Renardo Green and yep. D'Amino Lenore. Figure out which one of those box safeties you're keeping in Mustafa and Talanoa Hufanga. And then go from there. But scheme change and a complete overhaul of that defense should be on the table. Because instead of just hiring the guy that fits this defense, you need to hire the most qualified, best candidate who can move going forward, can give you a revolutionary defense. This team never goes anywhere without a top 10 defense.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, and you're not going to go anywhere in this league without a top 10 defense for the most part. You look at these teams playing in the playoffs. For the most part, they have really good defenses. Look at Philadelphia. You know, look at Baltimore. Look at Buffalo. Look at Kansas City. All so on, the Chargers. But I am subscribing to a new scheme change. And that would mean also Chris Kocurek, the longtime defensive line coach. You would have to blow him out alongside Nick Sorensen. Because I do think the wide nine, if you don't have monster defensive tackles in the middle, even when they went to the Super Bowl in 2019, they were giving up 4.7 yards a carry. It allows too many gaps. So when you got Nick Bosa out there lined up so far wide, and he's a power rusher, not a speed rusher, not only does it hurt him when it comes to pass rushing, but in the run game, there's so many wide gaps, and he's going upfield. We're creating an easy lay for running backs to go ahead and get chunk plays. They're not getting touched until they get 5 to 6 yards down the field. So I want a scheme change as well, whether it's a 4-3 or 3-4. I just don't like the Y-9 anymore. I think the Y-9 is a little outdated. teams have figured it out. Now, if you want to go to the wide nine on, say, 3rd and 15, and you want to do it in situational settings, fine. Situational football, you want to go wide nine, I'm okay with that. But every single down, when you don't have speed rushers, yeah, I'm good off that. So I would like a scheme change as well.
Well, and another thing, I want to take it a step further. They can't let the players dictate which direction this goes in. And I'm not saying that the players had their thumb all the way on the scale, because Shanahan deserves, like, this is Shanahan's baby, right? Yep. And John Lynch to a lesser degree, but, like, this is their baby. But I do believe the players had a significant amount of influence on, A, Steve Wilks, and making him bend to what they wanted to do, and then, B, getting rid of Steve Wilks, and then, C, elevating Sorensen.
Yep.
So, to me, like, the last people I'm listening to is Fred Warner and Nick Bosa. Not because they're not great, but they are great players.
Right.
I want the best candidate who can maximize their value. And sometimes you have to look outside the building and get out of your norms to and get out of your comfort zone to reach your greatest greats.
Yeah.
That's just my belief.
I wonder if Shanahan regrets not hiring Vic Fangio last year. When Vic Fangio, they interviewed Vic Fangio for the job, and Shanahan obviously was reluctant to go to the 3-4 because you look at what's happening in Philadelphia. This worked out very well for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, they're, but they also, just not to be, you know, super nuanced here, but when you hit on Jalen Carter and you maximize that, wow, it looks a lot better because they nailed that top.
But Jalen Carter didn't play well last year. Remember him and Jordan Davis, they weren't great.
No, but I'm talking about Fangio. Well, Fangio has made him look, I mean,
he's taken a step forward.
And then I look at their draft this year and all those secondary players, because they revamped their entire secondary.
They're two rookies.
They're hitting. So to me, like, yes, scheme change, absolutely, on the table. Got to get the right guy. I need a coordinator who understands the X's and O's. You also need to continue to draft and develop, because you've missed in some spots, especially, well, I'd say, front seven.
They changed their scheme. They drafted players that fit that scheme, and now their scheme looks really good. The Niners scheme right now looks a little outdated. Let's get to Bobby and East Palo Alto real quick.
Hey, Bobby.
He's been on hold for a while. Bobby, what's happening, man? Good morning.
Congrats for Brian Schneider for being unemployed. He can take Nick Sorensen and Jake Moody with him, and don't let the door hit him on the way out. I suggest we go back to a 3-4, and hopefully Sorensen's on his way out. Fangio was never coming here after we pulled the Tom Sula over him. I mean, he's definitely got to have a grudge against us for that. As far as the Cardinals running up the score in that game, I got something.
You want to tell them? They sit on their ass.
And let's get it back together with some rebuilding of the core offensive and defensive line in the draft.
Yes,
that will definitely help us moving forward. Any hope on Sorensen getting the can next? Thanks, guys, and happy New Year.
We'll see. I think we're going to find out. Last year they announced the Steve Wilks thing, I believe, on a Wednesday.
It was a Wednesday, like 3 days after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so we'll see. You know, like, when we talk about their drafts coming up, and we'll have all offseason to speculate on these things. I don't know what CMC is going to be, right? He's got, like, about a $10 million hit next year, cap hit, and then they can get out after that. But I believe they're going to roll him back.
As they should.
Agreed. Jordan Mason, Garendo, all those guys, none of them could stay healthy.
No.
I said this to Spadoni, and it might sound insane. Do I want them to draft an offensive lineman? Of course. Do they need defensive lineman? Of course. I'm also going to throw running back in there. I want a running back in the first couple rounds.
Well, they usually do draft a running back in the third round,
and
right?
It ends up whiffing. I think they need to take a higher pick on that.
And it whiffs all the time. I don't know. I look at the trenches, and I ran into a Jim Harbaugh quote that maybe we should play. But Jim Harbaugh mentioned the offensive line. He goes, the offensive line is the only position group that doesn't need other positions to make them better. The quarterback needs the offensive line. The running back needs the offensive line.
Point.
The running back needs the offensive line. The tight end needs the offensive line. But the offensive line doesn't need anybody to be great. And that's when I look at this team. And the injury to Trent Williams, I think Trent Williams will be back. And I think I truly believe Trent Williams has pride.
Ponte, he's got a $57 million cap hit next year. He's coming.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't think he wants to end his career
He's still hobbling around, apparently, as what everyone said yesterday.
Yeah, so get healthy, big dog. Get healthy. But with him coming back, and you have Dominic Pooty, which is another Silver lining, Dominic Pudi, you found yourself a right guard.
Yeah, he's a monster.
You have to retool this offensive line and get better. If you're going to invest in Brock Purdy, you need to invest in the offensive line. He just gets rolled and rolled and rolled. It's just not pretty up there. It's not pretty up front. So both sides of the trenches are here on running back because I think they need to get quicker and more explosive on the outside.
No doubt.
When you see Jahmyr Gibbs, when you see some of these running backs out there, Chase Brown in Cincinnati, you see all these guys being explosive and have speed on the outside. The Niners became one of the slower teams this season. So I agree. They need a lot more speed. However, they need the trenches to be a lot better.
No doubt. I just look at – and then going to the trenches thing – look at who's running the ball well, and look who's in the playoffs.
Yep.
Green Bay, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Detroit, Minnesota. All of these teams run the ball well and have stout offensive lines. You know, Buffalo, Tampa Bay.
Bucky Irving is going crazy.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, if you just look at it, like, the teams that can't run the ball versus the teams that can, there's a direct correlation to who makes the playoffs.
No doubt. No doubt. And so they failed up front. Up front, they got beat up this year, and we'll talk more about it. We got Moody Ward sound, Brock Purdy here, what he had to say in the locker room yesterday as the Niners trying to retool. In case you're just waking up, the 49ers have fired special teams coordinator Brian Schneider. They fired him. Who's next? Who is next? Who do you want to see go? Who do you want to see back? We got plenty of questions when it comes to the 49ers. Don't forget the Warriors take out the Miami Heat before a four-game road trip, and they need this game tonight because playing Detroit. Detroit, guess what, folks? They're 500. And Cade Cunningham is playing like an all-star. It's not an easy road trip. There. What's up?
Terrell Owens in studio with Willard and Dibs today at 4?
Yeah, I'm not happy about that. And I'll explain why. Well, actually, I'll explain. I'm happy, but I'm not happy. And I'll explain on the other side. Brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Safe travel in the new year starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Your 15-minute drive-through change for all vehicle types. Friendly technicians will check fluids, wipers, lights, and more. No need to get out of your vehicle. Locations, coupons at BayerOilChange.com. And that's what's coming up on the game. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
I can't even believe you said that.
All right, hey, check this out. This is San Leandro Mo, and you're listening to 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Vontae and Shaq.
Good morning. As this segment is sponsored by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLover.com. We will be carrying the Warriors game later today against Miami Heat, and Baldy will be joining us at 7:30 to get closure. To get some closure on this disappointing season for the 49ers.
Crack,
been all over the place. I saw him doing a splits with Jason Kelce, late night with Jason Kelce. How about Baldy up there with Lil Dicky and Charles Barkley alongside Jason Kelce?
Barkley lost some weight, huh?
Barkley lost a lot of weight. Barkley looks good.
The Ozempic?
I don't know about that.
No, that's what that is.
What is that, a
Smith
pill?
Was giving it.
Is that a pill?
I don't know. It's what is Ozempic?
It's an injection.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's an injection.
And it helps you lose weight?
I don't think it's particularly supposed to be for that. I think it was a diabetic drug at first, but people are using it to lose weight.
What's the side effects?
I'll get them for you in a second.
Oh, I thought you sound like
I don't work for the FDA, Joe. I don't know. I'll find it out.
What are the side effects? Joe's thinking about taking some.
Just injecting it into my jawline.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the guy wants to do steroids right now.
I did get a good pump in today.
Common Ozempic side effects include nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, stomach pain, constipation, upset stomach. You can take Pepto-Bismol for all these, by the way. Heartburn, burping, gas, bloating, loss of appetite, runny nose, or sore throat, stomach flu symptoms, headache, dizziness, tiredness, and low blood sugar.
So basically, I just walk around like I have norovirus for a couple weeks.
So it's actually not the side effects, not that, you know?
Just
horrible.
Take some Tylenol, some Excedrin,
sure.
Some Pepto-Bismol, you'll be all right.
Well, that might counteract the Ozempic that's working at the time.
Yeah, right.
But so you just got to take it on the chin, Vontae Hill.
Got to just take it on the chin.
But it'll turn into a chin, not chins, if you take the Ozempic. So don't worry.
Ooh,
there we go.
I kind of like that.
As a man with a rooster gullet, let me tell you, I'd do anything to get rid of that.
Got to grow the beard then.
I can't grow a beard.
You can't grow a beard?
Not really.
Why?
It's just like patchy and itchy. And
those are cool. I wish I could do that.
No, I just
get the Dan Lanning beard going on.
I can't do it.
Joe Lacob's beard. You see his beard right now?
Oh, I seen Joe Lacob.
You see his beard?
I didn't check out his beard per se, but I saw him at the game the other day. I love because you see his wife always comes in kind of first. No. Just like from up top. I'm way up high, and he's way down low.
Come on, man. You weren't sitting with Jesus, were you?
No, I actually sat in those box theater seats.
Oh, yeah, those are pretty sweet.
They're really cool.
You got the theater box seats?
Yeah, a friend of a friend of a friend.
Damn.
Yeah, nice. No, he was flexing yesterday, Bonte. You're missing
it. I was not flexing.
No, he said he has to drive to a special location, take an elevator. Cool, yeah. No, it's nice.
No,
it's
I was saying it's like
the Batcave.
If you're looking for a nice, fun date, like, well, with you and your significant other, it's a great night because you can eat. They have all the food and stuff. And as long as you're having beer and wine, which they have high-end wine and stuff, it's all included in your ticket.
So,
really cool.
So it's funny because Anna got to sit in those seats during the Cavaliers game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, no, I was like, oh, Anna, you want to go to a game? And I was like, damn, somebody offered me two tickets. I was like, well, you know I'm working. And so Anna got to sit in the theater box. She's like, oh, yeah, let's chill, blah, blah, blah,
blah. It is
cool. Yeah,
it's a great angle. It's
legit.
A lot of really good people that work up in there. And there's actually a couple of different people. One man with his daughters and his wife. And he was like, yeah, I listen every single day. I'm a basketball coach. His daughter was on crutches. And I said, hey, man, make sure you guys text in. She's in eighth grade. She's a big-time hooper. And I was telling her, I know you think your dad's, you know, stupid and the dummy and this. Be thankful that your dad's coaching you right now. You know, like you're going to look back on these days and you're going to say one day, today won't register, but one day you'll say, you know what, my dad was a good guy. So I always say to all the kids, like, be thankful that your father is there coaching and in your life because it's going to be the best years of your life.
Well, unless they're overbearing coaches.
Well, always.
Yeah, Tom Marinovich on line one. Real quick, to put a bow on this Ozempic thing, there is a big side effect, guys, called Ozempic face. That's what doctors are calling it. So the side effect can cause sagging and aging of facial skin.
Well, then I'm out.
So I'm just saying. Well, is it worth it if you want to get that chiseled six-pack, but you have some lines under your eyes?
Look.
Right. Yeah, I'm good off that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good off that.
I've been working hard the real way, and it's taken a long time.
Well, you guys look great on YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter right now.
Do
all
we?
Powered by First NorCal Credit
Union. Oh, is the chat back up?
No.
Oh, damn. All right.
He got so excited.
I thought the chat was back. New year? New chat? No?
Fire the chat coordinator.
Damn.
Whoever the coordinator is of the chat, we need a new schematics on the chat.
You're a high-level loser, bro.
I watched a little KC and D-Lo yesterday, and I happened to catch TC's call. Speaking of high-level loser, I happened to catch TC's call, and they were talking about, like, 95-70 games, too good to have a chat. They're too good to have a chat. I'm like, I'm missing chat. They were D-Lo and KC and everybody in their chat. No, I do care. No, a lot of people do care. So ask me.
I remember everything.
I disagree with
John McCain.
TC went up there, dude. He calls every show. Danker in the city. Danker, what's happening?
Happy New Year, gentlemen.
What's up, buddy?
It's too late. Hey, Danker, it's done. We're done with the Happy New Year's, according to Larry David. That was done on the 3rd.
Oh, well, according to Larry David, doesn't really impress me, so Happy New Year.
All right, anyway.
Anyways, this is the thing. I don't like to pile on. There's a reason I've been a little quiet the past couple months. This O-line's been an issue. Since the Super Bowl, we were like, ugh, this defense is putting real pressure on this line. And then if you want to run a wide nine, you need the actual players that can make that flow correctly. And we just haven't had that defensive tackle that really owns the middle that forces them to flow to Bosa. And Bosa is getting double-teamed. I mean, it goes back to middle out, and I think that's where we're at now. So, like, I would love Scadaboo, someone like that, but we don't want to beat him up either. We got to reinforce the line, keep CMC healthy, things like that, like fundamentals. I think that's where we kind of were over our skis there. And, you know, if you look back to when Jimmy was in the Super Bowl, that comes back to field position, which goes back to the line. And I think, you know, trading DeForest Buckner really is what set this franchise back. Unfortunately, it's crazy how we're still trying to replace him.
It's true.
So, you know, guys, love you. Have a great one.
You too.
We'll get back there.
You know, I've been thinking long and hard. I said this to Spadoni yesterday. I'll float it to you. In years past, they didn't have 12 roster spots, you know, to fulfill. Like, the team was pretty locked in place. When your quarterback's, like, making less than $1 million, you know, you could spend pretty well across the board, and there just weren't a lot of spots up for grabs. I'm looking at this year's team, and given the fluctuation of finances and just open spots, this is the year to have, you know, 12 picks in the first 5 or 6 rounds and walk away with 10 or 11 dudes that actually make your team. Like, this is the kind of a year that they need to absolutely crush the draft.
And I thought they got a good start last season in the draft. I thought they found some players. Renardo Green is a player. Ricky Pearsall last couple weeks. Well, I'm encouraged. I'm very much encouraged about Ricky Pearsall. I think this guy could be a player.
I like Cowing, too.
I like Jacob Cowing. I wish they used him a little bit more. Tatum Bethune, I'm really eager to see.
He played a little on Sunday.
He played a little bit, but I think he could be a player, at least a special teamer. Maybe, you know, maybe he's playing on base downs, first or second down or whatnot.
What'd you think
Dominic
of
Pudi? Dominic Pudi, I think, is a baller. Mustafa, won the Rookie of the Year award for the 49ers. Like, so I think Malik Mustafa, but also I really want a ball hawking safety. Like, I wish Caleb Downs from Ohio State was coming out, but he's only a sophomore. Like, that's the type of player I need at safety. Sideline to sideline. He can play the deep third. Deep routes are shut down. You need him in the box at times? Sure, why not? I need a ball-hawking free safety to say, who fucking the Eagle, Shasky? Oh, my God.
Well, him and Jair Brown, it felt like the longer they played throughout the year, the worse they got.
Yes. I mean,
but they also feel very redundant to each other. See, they got to make a decision. To me, if you keep Jair Brown, then Hufanga goes. If you keep Hufanga, then Jair Brown goes.
And then what's Hufanga's market? What is he going to be looking for?
I don't know.
I don't know what he's going to be looking for.
But him, you know, and Mustafa can't stay on the field.
No, they can't. They really can't. So I would love a ball hockey free safety and just move Mustafa to strong. And I would move off of Jair Brown and Hufanga if that's what it case. And I hate saying that because Hufanga has been a good 49er, been a good community member, but business is business, man. We got to go out here and win football games. Those angles that he takes and his speed, it just looks like he got slower. Now, maybe he needs another year to come back from that ACL injury,
yeah,
because I think we forget how dominant he was as an all-pro. But he definitely misses a lot of tackles. He takes some horrific angles, and you can make 50 great plays. All it takes is that one bad play to give up seven.
Well, you know, it's funny that you bring in all that up, because I've been saying that, like, I think Talanoa Hufanga is a guy that should also play special teams. You know, this is a team that needs guys that can play special teams. Why is he not?
Yeah.
You know, I know most of your starters don't play. Hey, look, Navarro Bowman, when he was in his prime, played special teams. Deshaun Goldson, in his prime, played special teams. Mm-hmm. In his prime. Like, so I'm not above playing some of my starters on special teams.
Should.
I understand that you run the risk of getting them injured. Believe me, I'm well aware of that.
A lot of teams do that. A lot of teams do.
I think you have to.
At least a punt team. At least punt team, punt return team. Give me some starters up there.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I'm saying? Somebody who can block, somebody who's out there looking to make sure that there's no fakes or anything like that. No, starters should have to play that. I'm surprised more starters didn't play, but there was a plethora of injuries on this football team that maybe Shanahan felt hesitant in playing these guys on special teams. But I want a ball hockey safety so damn bad, Shasky, it's not even funny. I swear to God, I want one. And I don't know if there's any good ones in the draft. I'm looking at all these mock drafts, which is kind of weird to look at mock drafts around these parts in early January, but that's what we're doing right now. But I want a big-time safety, man. I want a big-time safety. And the trenches as well. So I don't know what they're going to do with that. But speed, overall team speed is needed on this